Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John concludes a series entitled, God's Definition of Sin. Now, most Christians didn't have trouble with the first message, but this one is a little harder to swallow because the Adamic sin was not about murder, violence, rape, or theft, but the simple act of eating the wrong fruit. The whole human race was condemned to the lake of fire because our ancestors ate a fruit God said they shouldn't eat. The sin in itself was not a violent act, but the action was rebellion against God, the same sin that Lucifer committed. And God does not tolerate rebellion. So what if you're disobedient and not even aware of it? Are you still held accountable? Pastor John brings out what Jesus spoke about sin and the solution. This message is entitled Part 2, Running from Sin. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. On June 28th, 2009. And we're going to be dealing with a subject today called Running from Sin. And this is my second installment in the series, God's Definition of Sin. So let's stand and let's pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you right now for these moments that we have here together. Father God, I just realized I forgot prayer time. And Lord, I just want to lift up here Jason's grandmother, Betty Smith. She was diagnosed with a congestive heart failure and suffered with shortness of breath from time to time. Please pray that she have peace and no pain. She is saved and believes in God. Please pray that God keeps her from suffering. My Heavenly Father, we lift up Betty Smith to you right now. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be healing her. And Father God, I do not know her age. I do not know when it's her time to go. But I know this. We don't need to die of sickness. Father God, we want to die healthy. When the time comes to go, we want to be healthy and just lean over and we are gone. And we pray for Betty Smith, Father God, that this is going to be her way to exit this earth. She'll be well. And when the time comes to go, she will just flip over, and that's it. And she'll be in the arms of Jesus. And Father God, we pray for this church. You know the needs. And Father God, I thank you right now that you're going to meet every need that we have asked for. And we give you praise now for opening the word to us today. As we study this, in this we ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Disobeying God is sin. Disobeying God is sin. The first sin committed by man was not murder, not violence, no theft or rape. It was a simple act of disobeying God by eating a fruit that he said should not be eaten. Now I want you to think about this. The Adamic sin, the sin that put all of us under the dominion of sin, was what we would call a simple sin, eating a fruit. Let's read from Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God said, I got a lot of trees here. There's one tree that I don't want you to eat. If you eat of that fruit, that's it. You will die. It's over. That's the end of it. Adam didn't believe it. Eve didn't believe it. And they ate. And all of us are paying the consequence. When Adam and Eve committed what most people think was a petty sin, the human race was condemned to a physical death and then eternity in a lake of fire. Let's read from Romans chapter 5, the book of Romans. If you look in chapter 5, if you pick it up in verse number 12, that's Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For under the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Notice here now that those of us that had not sinned, because when we were conceived, we had not even started to sin. We were born in sin. It was not our sin, but Adam's and Eve's sin. And then we read in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is a gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, I want you to look upon verse number 19. That's a verse we probably haven't paid a lot of attention to. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Let's talk about you right now. You are a believer in Christ. And people around you know that you are a Christian. Let's say that you decide that you want to backslide. Or you're committing some kind of a sin and you're not going to repent of it. And you might be living in sin for maybe a year, 6 months, 5 years, who knows. And while you are living in sin, what kind of testimony are you having? Instead of pointing people to Christ, you are pointing them to hell. Let's read it again. For as by one man's disobedience, if you and I are disobedient, it might cost somebody eternal life. You might repent later and be restored. But the people that you should have reached, that God had intended for you, the people that got offended by your way of living, will die in their sins and go to hell. That's a heavy statement. That puts responsibility upon you and me. And we don't like to be responsible, do we? I talked about Rick Warren last week. And thanks to Blessed Sister in the congregation, I got the whole nine yard on it. And this July 4th weekend, July 3rd through, the 5th, is going to be a national Muslim conference in Washington, D.C., where they have about 15 different Muslim speakers, and they are simply putting together as many Muslims as they can in the United States and Canada. And one of the keynote speakers is going to be Rick Warren. I went to their website today, this is the Islamic website, to see what do they say about this preacher. How are they going to introduce him to the Muslims? He is introduced as a great spiritual leader, an influential person that can take you and help you in your spiritual life and be more effective, make more money, be a better person. God help us if a gospel preacher is invited to Muslims and they happen to hear him, something is wrong. He's not going to talk about Jesus. He's going to be talking about how to grow a church, a Muslim church. How to do that, because they are spiritual principles that he is well aware of, and they want him as a spiritual leader. I want you to think about this now. Muslims are great, making a great impact into black churches. They are making inroads into white churches. Now, if people that are sitting on the fence are going to see one, what they call the most prominent spiritual leader in America, addressing this group, they're going to say, well, Islam could not be that bad. How many people will join Islam, die, and go to hell because Rick Warren, a Southern Baptist preacher, went to their convention and spoke? Think about the ramification. For it's by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now when you and I live a good life, when we let the light shine, then we are going to draw people to Christ. Let's turn to Revelation 20. This is a scripture that most people don't like to read, unless you're born again. Revelation 20, and you read here from verse number 10. And I want you to know now that what we are reading here is a result of eating a forbidden fruit. And the devil that you see that was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And they saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no fountain or place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you do not have your name in the book of life, which you don't hear today have, but if you are watching and find out that you are not born again, you're placed in the lake of fire. I think that this week was a tremendous wake-up call for pastors and Christians. When Michael Jackson died this week, you know, people have not talked too much about him. He's a pedophile. He is all kind of different things, and he had ungodly music, and his star had kind of going down. But something happened when he died. All his devotees came out, and not only the United States, but around the world. And I saw men and women, boys and girls, crying, mourning this man, a pedophile. Someone has led people to hell through his music. Their God, with a small g, had died. And the people are mourning. And the networks and everybody else, and they're going to have some kind of a national mourning sometimes today in a nation. And guess what? Barack Obama wrote a personal letter and sent condolences to the Jackson family and told them how sorry he was for the passing. When was the last time Barack Obama sent a letter of condolence if a saint of God died? Forget it. I want you to see the influence, the power of the music, the television, the movies they are having on these people that live not only here in this country, but around the world. On the news, they showed another clip. A little boy, 4 years old, living here in Sacramento. And he was dressed up like Michael Jackson. They had him on a ledger and with a hat. And he was dancing and he was mimicking. And the mother said, you know, he just loves Michael. He watches every one of his videos. And he has mastered every move, every dance move he has mastered. And they showed this little boy, 4 years old. And I thought about the demons in that little boy just moving his body and preparing him for an eternity outside of Christ. And the mother was so proud of having his son, only 4 years old, that already looked like Michael Jackson, performed like Michael Jackson. You know what? The morality of this country is down in the sewer. Man can be redeemed through Jesus Christ if he's willing to repent, to turn from his sins and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. And I want to pick it up in verse 8. That's Romans 10, 8. But what says it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. For if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation. For the scripture says, whoso believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek. For the same Lord over all is written to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only through Jesus Christ can man be redeemed and born again. I'm going to read verse 14. It's a bonus scripture here. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You and I are good news. We have good looking feet. We are great people because you and I are bringing the good news that Jesus saves to have eternal life. Someone came to me years ago and gave me that message. Someone came to you and gave you that message years ago. Or maybe recently, who knows? So let's use our time on this earth to share the gospel at any cost. Let's talk about now us Christians. And let me read this here. There is always a consequence when a Christian decides to break any of God's commandments. Let me emphasize now. I'm not saying this, that if you sin, you lost your salvation. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying this, that if we as Christians sin, there will be a consequence. For you that are married, let me use this illustration. If you're not a liar, you have had a number of fights with your spouse. If anyone said, I've been married for 32 years and I never fought my spouse one time, then you're a liar and you need to repent when we have an invitation today. So we all have fought. Now, when you had a fight, when you were in disagreement, what was broken? What was broken was the fellowship. Now, if your wife got upset with you, and she's kind of on the upset side, you don't walk in and put your arm around and say, honey, I want you to cook me a special meal right now. You're going to get the elbow and told, you know, we're not doing that now. Same, you know, if the husband is upset with you as a wife, and you know he's fuming, you're not going up and say, honey, how about $25 right now? He's going to say, 25 bucks, I'm not going to give that to you. Furthermore, and he goes on. What restores that fellowship? Repentance. Forgiveness. You give forgiveness, you receive forgiveness. And once there's been a restoration, now the fellowship is restored. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. And I wrote this. If the fellowship of God has been broken, there will be a judgment and a price to pay. Instead of walking in blessings, the believer faces judgment from God. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Let's be brave now and look at this straight in the eyes. That's Hebrews 10, 26. Paul says this, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for our judgment and fire and indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy to two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trod on the foot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified and an holy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, as the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. God is simply judging us, chastising us, disciplining us because we are his children. And there will be a consequence when we sin, and notice now, when we don't repent. If we repent, he forgive us. But let me give you this example. Let's say this here, that you get angry. And you leave the house huffing and puffing. And you drive out. You know, when we are angry, we don't drive very well. We drive very bad. So here you go. Now you drive out. And you cause an accident. And the driver in the other car is killed. You recognize that you have sinned. You ask God for forgiveness. You ask the Lord, oh God, forgive me for my anger, for being so bad this morning. I didn't mean it. God will forgive you. But the other person is still dead. There are consequences. You will be forgiven. That's why when we live, we should think clearly and say, now, if I do this, if I lose my temper, I do this thing, what will it cost and what harm can it bring to somebody else? We need to understand that. We have to be responsible. Cancer, and I wrote this, is rampant among humanity, and Christians don't accept. One of the biggest cancer-causing agents is pork. Has God spoken about eating pork? Yes, he has. Turn to Leviticus chapter 11. That's Leviticus, the 11th chapter. I'm not going to be able to justify and really lay everything out here today. But let me just ask you this. You went out and you bought a new car. And you're looking upon the manual. And they tell you this. This is the oil you're using. This is the lubricant. This is for the coolant and this and that. And you have certain restrictions. And the reason for that is so that your car, your vehicle will last a long time. You buy a dishwasher and you get instructions. You buy a washing machine, you get instructions. Whatever you buy, we get instructions. Now, you don't walk around and say, you know, these stupid, dumb jerks, you know, they are making these different things. I don't have to obey them. I'm going to do what I want. If I feel like it, I'm going to put transmission fluid into the engine where it should be motor oil, and I'm going to reverse it just to teach this guy. They don't tell me what to do. Well, you do that. And you know, your car's been smoking not too far down the road, and that's the end of it. The warranty is more than that. Listen, you and I carefully look upon our cars, our appliances, everything else, because we want them to last a long time. When it comes to the body, we put any type of junk in it and simply says, oh, well, man, it will all be organized downstairs someplace. We need to take heed and look upon the manufacturer, what he said he wants us to eat. And the Lord spake. Now this is Jesus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parts of hoof is cloven footed, and chews the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the coney, because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the hare, or the rabbit, because he chews the cud but divides not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he chews not the cud, he's unclean to you. Now, this is what God said. He simply gave this commandment. And turn up with me to verse number 43. And you read this. You shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. Neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself, or you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any man or creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt. To be your God, you shall be therefore be holy, for I am holy. Holy means to be separated. This is my suggestion. Is that what you read? This is the law of the beasts, of the fowl, and of every living creature that moves upon the waters, and every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Jesus never declared the swine to be a clean animal. Its DNA didn't change when Jesus died on the cross. And the New Testament doesn't declare it to be food. But Christians twist scriptures, but they justify this sinful habit. Now turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We read here now. Now the Spirit speak expressly. In the latter time some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Now meat in King James Version means food, and flesh, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Notice now that Paul says here, which has been created to be saved, to be received. Everything God made on this earth is good, but not everything is made for food. We don't quite get that. Look what I wrote in my box here. And some people get very upset when I talk about this. Eating pork dishes is the same thing as eating all the forbidden fruit that God told Adam and Eve not to eat. Are you guilty of this sin? It will not send you to hell, but it will send you to heaven earlier with less rewards. Jews have a low cancer rate. And the reason for that is that most of them do not eat any pork products. Their cancer rate is very low. The moment the pork dishes go up in volume, cancer will increase. God is simply saying this. There are other things he's telling us, but we just take this now. Obey the Lord. I just made a choice of pork today because that is prevalent among people. It's a cheap food, and that's why now you will find that the Jews do not have pork in their stores. They don't have that. They only have high quality beef that has been declared kosher. They don't buy junk. They sell the junk to us at Kmart, Walmart, Costco, wherever they sell it. That's where you find the spam and all the junk for the Gentiles. Jews don't eat there. They don't buy the stuff there. They have their own stores. Now, do you think, just think about this now, it had nothing to do with salvation. If God told Moses that eating seagulls, shrimp, lobsters, pigs, and so on was not good for them at that time, why would it be good today? If God said, now, that's for your health, you know, does God love the Jew more than us? Well, he simply says, well, I want these guys to eat the right kind of stuff, but you Gentiles eat whatever you want, I don't care. They wouldn't be loving, would it? So God is simply saying, no, this is good for everyone. But you see, we are rebellious. And he says, well, that's not what I learned in Sunday school. That's not what I taught, you know, and that's not the theology we have and so on. Sorry. Read the Bible. Let's talk about what Jesus said about sin. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5, if you pick it up in verse number 17, 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. What does the law mean? The 5 books of Moses, the Torah, or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot to one tittle, shall in no wise pass for the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. Hello? What kind of Bible did Jesus preach out of? Did he preach out of Romans? The Old Testament. The New Testament was not written. Jesus preached from the Old Testament, and he simply says this: I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The 10 commandments is a moral law. He kept that, but it's nothing to fulfill. The practical law he kept, but it's nothing to fulfill. The sacrificial law he fulfilled because he became the sacrifice. The sacrificial law is gone, but the moral law and the practical law stands. Now, a lot of people are schizophrenic. They says, I'm a New Testament guy, I'm not in the Old Testament. What about the 10 commandments? Can you break them then? Since you're a New Testament man? Can I go and steal your car? Can I murder you? Not really. Look, we can't pick and choose. And then Jesus said this: whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, notice now he doesn't say you lose your salvation. But he says this: he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If I can use some human terms, if you want to be a janitor in God's kingdom, keep breaking all these commandments and you will be a janitor. When you get into heaven, you'll be given what I've shown you so many times, and I got a clean one today. You'll be given a rag, and you simply say, yeah, you made heaven, there's your rag, now go and polish the streets. You lost your rewards. If you want to be called great, then read the word. Don't tell people, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, because you lose your salvation. Then you're a false teacher. But teach them the truth so they can live and live victorious. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I think the air conditioning died here today. They have it working, but it died. Might have kicked out. Couldn't take it. Aren't you glad that we are not going to hell? Can you imagine hell? No air conditioning. No thermostat. Hot. Very hot. In Romans 1:15, we read this: so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We got to deal with sin. Sin is like cancer. It eats on us. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you pick it up in verse number 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. With other words, when you became saved, don't think, how far can I sin before God really slaps me? But think, how far and how close can I walk with Jesus? And that you put on a new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away all lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, anger is a very powerful emotion. And in years past, when I got angry, I can say this, I've been married for 47, 48 years to my wife. I never hit her, I never hurt her, but I sure destroyed a lot of property. And I remember in the early years, when I was driving, and we got an argument, I got violent. I mean, I drove like an idiot. I would speed up, I would do reckless things and so on. And it's under the grace of God, I didn't kill anyone or hurt anyone. Why? Because I had not understood that I had to temper myself and I had to fight sin. Don't just let it rip. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hand, the thing which is good, that he might have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And you must say, well, I'm not saying anything corrupt. But when you turn on your television set, and you turn on the people of the day, they are talking filth, they're cursing, swearing, lying, cheating, and so on. What are you doing? Corrupt communication is coming into your home, into your car if you got music. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed at the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let me just ask you this, because I really want to make a point. Now, before I left home today, if I would have simply said to my wife, well, you know, I'm just going to watch a little bit porn here on my computer, you know, just give me 15 minutes, and while I'm doing that, you know, hand me a beer. You might as well give me also a little bit hard liquor, you know, and so on. And I would have been sitting there smoking a big cigar like this guy did in L.A., you know, and I was just kind of, and then, you know, I said, well, let's go to church. And I walk in there and says, hi, folks. How you doing today? Well, we're going to sing some song. What are we going to sing today? What would you say? Would you say, about, praise God, a pastor, you know, he's pretty gassed up today. You know what you would do? I know what you would do. You would simply stand up and say, I'm not going to sit down here and listen to a drunk. I'm not going to listen to someone who's living in sin. I'm not going to listen to this and that. I'm out of here. So we hold the ministers to high standard, the Sunday school teacher, the deacons and the elders, but what about you? We need to simply say what Paul said in Ephesians 5:1. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, has given himself to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among us becoming saints. You can't watch a movie, a dirty movie, or television program, and have all that stuff. Paul says, but fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, as you read that chapter, Paul is simply saying, get out of it. You know, when I got married to my wife, I took in, you know, we took vows. And before I got married, I was what I call a two-timer. I had at least two ladies going at the same time, you know, in case one got sick, you'd always got someone for my date. And when we got married, I simply said, I am going to give up all the ladies I had. I forfeit them. I don't want them anymore. And I made a vow that I would stay true and faithful to Ina. I would give myself for the rest of my life. That is how marriage should be. I can say this, that 47 years later, I haven't had any other dames. And I don't plan to have it either. Jesus is the groom. The Bible says, we are the bride. Jesus says, I don't want to share you with anyone. I don't want you to go and kiss the devil any time during the week. I want you to come and walk with me, be with me. I want you to be faithful. How come we can be faithful in marriage, but not in our relationship to Christ? It's a mindset. And the mindset is simply this, but you know, it's not that important. It is important. And if you make it important, it will happen. Look, what is important to you that will happen in your life? What you buy, what you eat, how you dress, where you go, if it is important, it will happen. If it is not important, it will not happen. Make Jesus important. Let's look now in the chapter 5, Ephesians 5 here. And I want to go down here and read this from verse number 7. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you were sent in darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak and to think which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever does make manifest light. Wherefore he says, awake, you that sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Those of you that were here in the service, remember the prophetic word we got right after the song service? What was the prophetic word we got? To redeem the time. Sister Carol had not seen my outline. She did not know what I was going to preach on today, but the Holy Ghost did. And the Holy Ghost simply said, I'm going to have her to go up and give a prophetic word. See then, that you walk circumspect, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the outline, how to live a Christian life, how to defeat sin. Let me just try to wrap this up here today as we are going to be closing earlier. Disobeying God is sin. You and I want to run from sin. You don't want to resist it. Let me back this up again now. Any time that we are trying to resist sin, we lose. You run from it. You simply take off and you run away. You simply, no, I'm not even going to resist this. I'm just going to run. Run for my life. That's how you resist it. I gave you this story many times. You have a nice household. They got a nice big dog. And mama is making a roast. And the whole house is smelled up with the aroma. And the dog is walking all over the place, nervous as a cat. If a dog can be like a cat. He smells that stuff. Mama recognizes she has one ingredient she's missing. She's got to buy something else for that dinner. She takes the roast out of the oven, puts it on the table, and tells the dog, don't you dare to touch that when I run to the store. Well, you know what's going to happen when Mama comes back. That roast is going to be in the belly of that dog. He's going to be standing over the corner, noticed, you know, tail between the legs. He knows he's going to get a licking, but it was sure good. He's willing to take a beating for it. That's the same thing with sin. You take a man and a wife, or a man and a woman, they say, well, you know, we're not going to have any sex before marriage. You know, we're going to do it the right way. And then, you know, they get very close, holding hands, kissing, you know, and then hugging, you know, and says, well, you know, it's kind of late, you know. I don't want you to drive home in the dark. You can sleep on the couch in there, you know, and I'll sleep over in here. Yeah, sure. You know the rest of the story. And it doesn't end very well. Listen, you can't resist it. You got to run. You got to run from whatever it is. If it is money, sex, whatever it is, you run from it. And you simply say, I am not going to go down there. I tell people this, if you're tempted, call somebody up and say, man, I'm so tempted right now. Pray for me. That will break the spell right there. But you see, most of the time when the demons come in and says, hey, we want to talk to you about a little bit of sin today. And then they put out the smell. You know, you smell the sin. Ah, it smells good. And then they show it a move in your mind. You say, oh, man, that tastes good. And they says, now, you know, you don't want anyone to hear this, you know. So why don't you close the drapes, you know, and make sure the doors are locked, you know. Yeah, I want to do that. They want to isolate you. That's a time when you said, no, I need to call someone holy. Call Soteris. Soteris, I'm tempted. You know, he's going to give you a good little lecture, and he's going to give you a good Soteris prayer. And by the time he's through praying with you, the temptation is gone. Call somebody. Now, let me close with a scripture. John 14:15. Very simple in scripture. John 14. And we pick it up in verse 15. Short verse. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Picture yourself a wedding. Groom is standing here. Attendants. Double doors open. And the ladies are coming down. Flower girls. And there comes the bride, and all brides look beautiful. She's coming down and standing there glowing, you know, and the guy looks at her and says, "Wow, wowee." And then she said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And you look at her and says, "Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I try to be faithful to you, but I can't promise you that, you know, if something nice walk on the street, you know, don't count that out, you know. You never say never, somebody told me." You think that that little bride is going to say, "Oh, my honey, you know, he's a naughty little boy, but I'm going to corral him." She's going to say, "If you're not going to make a commitment to me today, you know what? This wedding is off." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What is Jesus asking us in his heart? Is Jesus asking you go out and hang yourself? Is Jesus asking that you go out and beat yourself up? Is Jesus asking you to do this or that? No. He's simply saying to keep my commandments. Why? Because they are good for you and me. There is not one thing in the Bible that will be harmful for it, but instead it'll be very good. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, are you running from sin? I know that, you know, I got the best church in town, probably in the state, probably in the United States, maybe in the world. But you see, we can always make improvements. We got rid of the big sins, you know, praise God, you didn't murder anyone today, you didn't rob a bank, you know, and you know, you have not do this and that. But we have attitude sins, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness. These are things running in our lives. And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandment." Confess it to him and stop doing it. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for this day you've given us here in church. And Lord, you know that I probably alienated a number of people today. But Father God, I just upheld your word. And you said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he should draw all men to him. And I lifted you up today. And I ask you to draw these men and women, boys and girls to you today. That they will be able to walk closer with you. To be victorious. And not to be defeated. Thank you, Father God, for moving today in this church. Thank you for moving around the world right now, as people have been watching us. Thank you for moving later on where the videos are played, where the CDs are played, or whatever it is, Lord. That people then will be able to hear and to respond. I pray if there's someone not being saved, that today you will save that person. If someone is backslidden, that you will bring them back today to a close relationship. If somebody is sick, then you would heal them today. If somebody wants more of Jesus today, you would give them more of you, Lord. And I thank and I praise you right now for moving here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars are open. The elders are coming right now to stand here. And if you say, "Well, I want to pray with someone today, I have a need. You come. They pray. If you say, well, I want to pray just by myself. You have an altar here on my right side, your left. You can kneel, sit, stand over there. No one will come and disturb you or talk to you. And if you're watching us right now, you say, well, I want to pray with someone right now. We will have a phone line open here in just a few moments. You can call us all afternoon and next week. Week after week, we are always here, ready to take your prayer request and minister to you. You come as God is speaking to you today.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the final part in the series God's Definition of Sin and was entitled Running from Sin. Most Christians didn't have trouble with the first message, but this one was a little harder to swallow because the whole human race was condemned to the lake of fire by Adam and Eve when they ate a fruit God said they shouldn't eat. The sin in itself was not a violent act, but the action was rebellion against God, the same sin that Lucifer committed, and God does not tolerate rebellion. So what if you're disobedient and not even aware of it? Are you still held accountable? Pastor John brought out what Jesus spoke about sin, and how the Apostle Paul told people to run away from it. If you love the Lord with all your heart and might, this sermon gave you a spiritual tune-up and drew you closer to Him. It is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1192. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.